Conscious Business, evolving the world of enterprise. Is it possible to buy ourselves out of our social and environmental woes? This week we explore the question with Matthew Gerson, founder and president of econsciousmarket.com, a philanthropic eco-marketplace. In this dialogue, we explore the contours and contributions of the conscious consumerism movement and examine its potential for genuine social and environmental transformation. Join the dialogue on ReframeAmerica.com. And now prepare to be transformed.
All right, so we're here today with Matthew Gerson answering the question, can we buy ourselves out of our social and environmental problems? We'll be discussing that question and others related to what we're calling conscious consumerism. Matthew is here from econsciousmarket.com, a philanthropic eco marketplace on the web. You can find it at ecomkt.com. So tell us a little bit about Econscious Market and what you're up to. How is this transforming the world of business, and what is a philanthropic eco marketplace anyway?
Let me answer the easy question first. The philanthropic eco marketplace, we've spent the last year researching online, looking for environmentally and socially responsible products in terms of how they are produced, and looking at manufacturing processes and looking at, you know, the social effects of the way things are produced, not just the environmental effects of bringing those two together. And we collected them all and built an eco mall, which many people are familiar with. And we decided to give away half the profits of the sales of those goods.
So you've got a bunch of great products.
We've got a bunch of, I mean, there's an amazing amount of stuff out there in various sectors, from clothing to furniture, bicycles. I mean, the more I started to dig, the more I discovered that it's not a really a niche market. It's just that most people don't know that there are products out there that are great. What would you say? Substitutes for a more conventionally produced product that you could probably take everything in your house and almost find a socially and ecologically responsible counterpart for that. Mm-hmm. And so we tried to collect them in one place, make them easily available.
And so how big do you expect to grow with this?
It depends on our listening audience here, basically. If the last year's any judge, we actually think we could become one of the largest environmental portals online for these types of products.
That would be awesome.
Why do you think that'd be awesome?
Well, I don't know. I think it'd be awesome because there'd be a wide variety of goods and half the profits would be going back to nonprofits.
Right.
The wide variety of goods would help to transform the nature of our entire marketplace. The more companies out there we can have like yours. Mm-hmm. And I always feel a little uncomfortable calling them companies because they function so much more like nonprofits in so many ways. But the more companies we have out there like yours, the more we're going to be able to transform the whole nature of our system of exchange.
Well, if it helps at all, we like to consider our company a for-benefit company. So we are sort of a hybridization of the for-profit and the non-profit sector. I mean, living in a culture where words have a tremendous amount of meaning, to call something a non-profit where we're also profit-driven is quite demeaning. So there is this movement. E-Conscious is just one of many companies in this movement towards creating a for-benefit filing for the IRS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting because you literally are half nonprofit and half for profit because you're giving away 50% of your profits. And from what I understand, the user actually gets to choose the nonprofit, correct?
Yeah, that's a key part of what differentiates us from some of the other sites out there or organizations or movements where corporations are giving back to the social sector. Mm-hmm. We really want our consumers, you know, our customers, I should say, to get involved in the giving process. So it's their money. It's in their pocket. They worked for it. They're purchasing a product from us that they know is more environmentally or socially responsible. And they can say to us, this is important to me. This environmental group, this social group, this human rights group is important to me. Give my money to them and we'll do it.
Mm-hmm. The thing that I find most interesting about this is it completely turns the notion of exchange on its head. It just changes it all around. We tend to think that there is someone purchasing something and someone selling it. And the one person selling it profits through their sale, and the person buying something profits by gaining something new that was worth the purchase. Mm-hmm. And this just completely changes the nature of those exchanges. Have you thought much about the potential for having a significant sector of the economy working in this way? Have you been envisioning those sorts of things?
We'd like to think that when our model is successful, that other companies will knock us off. I mean, we see that as our success, that the customers, that individuals, that citizens start demanding that more profits are shared with the social sector. And I think it is turning it on its head. I mean, it's time for us to perhaps recreate a new storyline around capitalism, because it is still in its infancy. When you look at other systems that have been around for hundreds of years or thousands of years, capitalism is quite brand new. So we're just maybe one little bleep on its evolutionary growth scale.
And this draws us back to that initial question that Duff asked. Can we buy ourselves out of the problem? All kinds of problems we've got in the world. And one of the biggest ones is overconsumption.
Right. I mean, I personally think the Greenest Consumption Act is no consumption at all. Mm. Or to say the greenest purchase is no purchase at all. And that doesn't sound too good from someone who's building a marketplace trying to sell things. But no, ultimately, it is true. Unless I maybe grow some organic kale in my garden and get some hemp twine and make some underwear and then eat it when I'm done, there's no such thing as a zero impact product. We're going to be using resources. So if you take that to its extreme end, we can't actually consume our way out of this problem. We can't eat our way out of trouble.
Or at least we can't yet. I mean, until we have the kind of design principles in place where the marketplace is actually an ecology that reuses every piece that goes into it. But obviously right now, most things that are manufactured create tons of waste, use up lots of water in ways that are really destructive environmentally. And then socially as well, like there's tons of things that are manufactured in third world countries with no labor standards. And obviously all sorts of ethical egregious practices are occurring.
I think if we look at consumption in that traditional sense that Theo spoke of, it's sort of you have a manufacturer, you have a consumer, you have a purchase, and then you get yours, I get mine, and we both go our own ways, then certainly consumerism in and of itself won't provide too much of a solution. But if you look at it in a greater context, that if conscious consumerism starts to change the way people contextualize themselves in this culture, that can lead to catalyzing other types of behavioral and structural changes that actually could holistically create the changes that we need to see occur.
This gets to what to me is the most interesting part of the conscious consumerism movement. It's not just that it's changing certain businesses that are selling a product or that could be selling the product and want to compete. It's that it's changing the individual who's interacting in the marketplace. It's changing the nature of the marketplace, competing to be better in the most goodness-oriented sense of better. And we begin to conceive of business differently.
That's really fascinating. Those are different points than you normally hear. Normally, you hear something like conscious consumerism or the ability for individuals to choose what they buy based on their values will change individual businesses or markets and shift them towards more values-oriented things, which seems like it sometimes happens, sometimes doesn't. Like Theo and I were talking the other day about how it doesn't seem to work at all or hasn't worked much in the car industry to a high degree at all. I mean, there's this possibility of a hypercar that gets more than 100 miles to the gallon and you're not able to buy them anywhere. But another market seems to make a fairly significant difference. But even more importantly, it shifts the individual, and over time it could shift businesses like e-conscious growing up and all the businesses they're supporting and built around to actually compete for value. So it's kind of this blending into the nonprofit world, into the for-profit world.
I mean, I think it brings up a very interesting question, is that what are the limitations and what are the potentials for industry to actually start to create these changes? And if industry is actually just a context for all of us to sort of act within, how much does it allow us to put forth our values? And currently we feel that we sort of leave our values inside of our homes and we go out into the marketplace. We sort of get our stuff, get back in the car, go home, and then live an ethical life. And they're very divergent. They're two separate issues.
Yeah, as if the marketplace is this value-free zone where you can't act on your environmental and socially responsible values or care for others.
Well, this starts to put to an end a lot of the biggest crises of the individual in the industrial era. The individual that had to interact in the marketplace, in the world of business, the nasty world of business, and set aside their values, or else be a bohemian artist, poet, musician. Mm. Very few job opportunities. So there was the poverty-stricken life of decency, or go like Thoreau and live in the woods, or in the early days of the United States, move out west. But now there's a wealth of conscious businesses, a wealth of job opportunities, and a whole different way that a person can interact in the marketplace. And I'm really curious personally how this is going to change the nature of our society.
If you really take it as a thought experiment, what would happen if when you went out of your home into the marketplace, if each one of these acts were somehow linked into your intention? Mm-hmm. So right now, you know, the intention, again, as with values and ethics, are sort of distinguished. They're separate from these purchasing acts that we're performing every day. And actually, it's one of the few acts that we all do every single day. We open up our wallets and we're buying things. I mean, there's so much potential there. Mm-hmm. I mean, just imagine the possibilities if the intentionality of our culture, of the people of our culture, we have to sort of hope for the best here, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'll jump in. Seems like the intention is definitely becoming more easy to spread as well with the online marketplace. I see the possibility of e-conscious, like aggregating all of these different companies, and the online marketplace creates all this differentiation in the marketplace where there's so many different possibilities for what you can purchase and what you can access with the click of a mouse.
I mean, one of the operating principles of e-conscious is the premise that we're working on with giving, it's the new getting, is that people are fundamentally generous by nature, that it's both innate to us and it's in our best interest to be generous to the people around us, that if we were completely shut off from the people around us, we couldn't survive for very long. Mm-hmm. So all we're basically doing is allowing for that intent to find expression in the culture.
That's awesome. When I think about Adam Smith's Invisible Hand, which he only mentions once in The Wealth of Nations, by the way, but this notion that we're all being organized by the marketplace, and then we have these very strange libertarian mythologizing of that, which almost makes the marketplace a sort of God. But then we ask, what kind of God is this? Or what kind of organizing principles are these if we're organized through our greed?
Right.
And so what you're suggesting is that we could be organizing ourselves through our sense of love and care and compassion.
That's a great way of putting it. And also in such a way that we're not being told to be loving. We're not being told to be generous. Mm-hmm. That it's easy to express because we find ourselves living in a world that allows us to do that naturally.
You're creating opportunities.
Just creating the opportunity for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that seems to meet any sort of libertarian objection that government be a body that forces us to be kind to each other or takes our money and gives it to other people and that sort of thing. So it actually allow for individuals to do that, although one could object that the government should do this.
Well, that brings up an interesting point, because I think about conscious consumerism and specifically green consumerism, which is everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know a lot of people that are almost getting turned off by it because it's so over-marketed right now. It's so oversaturated and there's a fear that it's a fad. But mm-hmm. What about quantity of consumption? You know, if we look about the quality of consumption as far as how green is this product, but what about how many of these products should I have? Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you said, maybe the government's not going to come in and put a limit on how many of these products we could have, but what to do with overconsumption? So mm-hmm. actually within the e-conscious model is this notion that the only thing that's going to actually diminish consumption is well-being. That as the well-being quotient goes up, the consumption level goes down. So we could actually come to find some type of sustainable point where we're all consuming enough, where we're comfortable, but we're not over-consuming to the point where we can't catch up. And the only way we're going to do that is to create greater well-being as a culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's interesting because it seems to allow, that kind of model allows for conscious consumerism doesn't necessarily replace nonprofits and government. That's inherent in the question, can we buy ourselves out of this problem, is often an assumption that that's the only way that we're going to solve the problem is take our money that we were giving to nonprofits and spend it on stuff. But perhaps we actually need to spend less, give it to nonprofit organizations, maybe even raise taxes and have better government programs as a complete picture.
I think there has to be steps in that direction. And e-conscious hopefully is a step in that direction. That's like the Red Campaign, which some of your listeners might be familiar with. It's a mm-hmm. step in the right direction, whereas, you know, drugs, antiviral drugs for AIDS patients, which are absolutely needed, mm-hmm. are being purchased through consumer products, you know, money that's earned from these consumer products. But the products themselves, no one's really looking at, you know, the manufacturing of those products. But mm-hmm. I lost my train of thought. What were you talking about?
I think that this this notion that it has to be either or, either the nonprofits right. raise the money and do the good work, the government does it, or maybe it's happening through the conscious consumerism movement. By creating a business that funnels money into the nonprofit sector, you cut out a large part of that debate right away. It's both and. It's both conscious consumerism and it's donations to the nonprofit sector.
I think we've been living, all of us, our whole lives in a culture where a very small percentage of people have most of the wealth. And a lot of these people are extremely philanthropic. So there is a lot of money moving mm-hmm. into the nonprofit sector, but the rest of us have been cut out. Mm-hmm. So what happens when we all start getting involved in that giving process? What are the deep structural changes that are going to occur?
And that's really fascinating to me. It brings me back to this concept of an aesthetics of caring, where we have this, where in our daily environment, everything that we own, everything that we see, we know actually has been manufactured by somebody, and that person was treated well, and that the environment was treated well in the manufacturing of this and the creation of this, and just the possibilities for changing culture and individuals through that daily conscious activity is outstanding.
It's a beautiful phrase, the aesthetics of care. I bet anyone listening right now can look around wherever you are and you will see yourself surrounded by a world of purchased goods. Even if you're sitting in a room, you know that all the materials that built that room were purchased, bought and sold, probably numerous times by numerous businesses to get them to your building. Probably the table or chair or computer or software or CDs sitting around you have been bought and sold. Mm-hmm. Now imagine if that process involved care at every step. How would your world be experienced differently?
I think people already, some people do this with their aesthetic environment. That's why I like the phrase aesthetics of care, in that they buy all these sorts of things. Especially middle-class people in America are moving towards this, where they buy things that are really well-designed. They have an iPod, and it's really nice, and it hooks up to this slick-looking stereo, and they have a really comfy chair to sit in that's really expensive by a famous designer. But now what we're doing is adding in ethics and care into that particular way of being, so that when we buy things, we can not only talk about how beautiful they are and how the designer was incredible, which is, you know, nice and sort of a sense of beauty, but we can also talk about the goodness that's in all these things. In terms of it used less water than these other things. And you know, you only bought, hopefully you didn't buy 12 of those chairs, but you only bought one or two of what you needed so that you can really include that full intention.
That's actually something I wanted to speak to you gentlemen about is, what about the fact that it seems like a lot of greener products today are really for an elite purchaser, mm-hmm. that it's not for someone who's has to be, they want to be ecological, but they have to think economically as well with their wallet. And e-conscious is also struggling with that, like really trying to source products that are affordable and responsible. So how do you see some openings there in the market to bring the price down on these goods?
Well, I mean, this is pretty common in a business development or marketing way, that first you get really high-end products before you get it trickled down into just generic stuff. And the stuff that trickles down is going to be things that are actually like energy efficient or save people money over the long haul. You're already starting to see that at Walmart with, I guess it trickles down in two ways. Like at Walmart, like, is selling organics, and most people who buy organics aren't thinking about the environment. They're thinking about their own personal health, and they're thinking about, wow, this is a luxury good. And so it carries like this aspect of luxury to buy organic food.
So you're saying this is a natural cycle?
I think it is.
Yeah, it seems like there's a necessary economy of scale mm-hmm. that has to be reached before the prices go down. That's just quite simple there. And then there's also the simple fact that early adopters of any product or technique are willing to go through more to get it. And mm-hmm. often the prices are raised because of that.
So yeah, they're in a certainly. Sense, they're breaking trail for the rest of us, use a sort of a winter metaphor.
We're breaking yeah. trail for the rest of you.
Perhaps.
Yeah, we all may be breaking trail.
Well, Duff brought up a sort of a hot topic with Walmart. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you guys, what do you think about how can we keep the pressure on as citizens, as citizen consumers, companies that are moving in a good direction? They're doing some things right, but they're still mm-hmm. doing a lot of things that maybe aren't wrong, but they could be a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, when a big company like Walmart, who has committed all sorts of egregious things that activists have told us all about with regards to labor and the environment, when they do something good, like introduce organics into their system, they should definitely get some thumbs up, but have it be a mixed review. And I think that's okay. That say, yeah, these guys are really big, and so they're really pushing the market to produce a lot more organics now. At the same time, the rest of the stuff is still crap, and it's on various ethical levels and just also the quality of the products.
Well, you give it a thumbs up, but I've got to give it a thumbs down on this one.
So an individual, what can an individual do? I mean, you're talking about just giving a collective thumbs up or a collective thumbs down. Mm-hmm. All the individual can do is what? They can purchase or not purchase.
Well, the individual can do more than that. I mean, they can purchase, they can not purchase, they can support activist groups that find out these sorts of things. I mean, even through eConscious, there's probably a nonprofit or two they could give 50% of their profit from the sale to that will actually push Walmart and other organizations. And they can also, when they're speaking to people about things, I think that's important. When they're speaking about their views on, say, Walmart with organics, they can give a mixed review. They don't have to be like completely enthusiastic or completely angry and harsh.
So can we buy ourselves out of the problem? I don't know if we've really answered the question. I don't know if we've sufficiently answered the question.
Mm-hmm.
Have we?
Yeah, well, we can't sell ourselves out of the problem either. You know, so we're sort of stuck between these two poles, and there's where the real work begins. So I think we can take many steps, and consumerism being one of them that addresses some of the more entrenched systemic, you know, cultural and environmental problems that we're facing.
I'm definitely left with some open questions, but, you know, I threw out the question at the beginning because it's provocative, but I think actually a better question is, to what extent is buying part of the solution? Or we're already buying things, what should we buy? Or should we buy less? I mean, those are some more specific questions that I think are more interesting. And I would say, yes, buying better stuff is better. And we probably need to reduce our consumption overall as well to really help with this, with social environmental problems.
Well, I can buy that. I would...
$20.
I would suggest that transforming the nature of the marketplace to me is profound. Absolutely profound in its implications for transforming the way we relate as human beings, the way we relate to the world of goods, and the way we learn to support one another in more and more ways, mutual aid of all kinds. And I think eConscious is setting us on that path, and that excites me. And I think the conscious consumerism movement, if done with that in mind, could be immense in its implications.
Well, we're very excited as well, Duff. And anyone listening out there, if you happen to be affiliated with any nonprofit organizations and you'd like them to get in touch with us as a beneficiary of your purchases, you know, certainly go online and contact us, and we'll reach out to those organizations.
And once again, that's econsciousmarket.com. You can also reach them at ecomkt.com, philanthropic eco marketplace. Thank you, everybody. And also, just wanted to say, a request for feedback from our listeners. If you have topics or people you'd like on the show, let us know by going to www.fallingfruit.tv and click on the feedback button there and send us your feedback.
Shop till you drop.
All right, everybody. We'll have another exciting dialogue next week.
For commentary and information on my conscious coaching, life, and leadership services, check out ReframeAmerica.com.